Galatians chapter 12. Today we're going to look at a war. You might ask, what is it good for? That's a joke. Revelations 12. We're going to look at verses 7 through 12 tonight. If you remember, it's been a couple weeks because we had the fire last week that we did outside. So we looked at the great dragon, the great red dragon. We looked at the woman being Israel, the dragon being Satan. And we looked through into the tribulation period. Verse 6 talks about the 3.5 years there. And so we come into verse number 7, and as the chapter continues, it says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels." Verse 8, the first three words are an important three words, "and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." This is an incredible passage as we're looking, and if you remember, you keep in mind here what we're covering the tribulation period and kind of the causing of it, where Satan is going to turn up. His mischief is a light word, but nonetheless. In Ephesians, the Bible tells us about principalities and powers. And this is really what we're talking about here. We war against these principalities and powers, and we're going to learn more about those in these five verses. So let's pray, and then we'll look at what the Bible says. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to open our Bibles and to learn from it. So, Lord, I pray that tonight you would teach us, that you would give us understanding. Lord, that you'd help me to present it clearly and correctly. And, Lord, that as a result, we'd be motivated to obey you more, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we see in verse number 7, we see this war and where it was fought. You know, it's funny, I don't know about you all, but as you're being raised and as you're going through Sunday schools and junior churches, and if you're in Christian school and those kinds of things, there's not a lot of Revelation chapter 12. There's probably not a lot of Revelation, but not a lot of Revelation chapter 12 that gets talked about a whole lot. Yet it is an amazing chapter, giving us a lot of detail. And in verse number 7, it says, "There was war in heaven." You know, and I heard this as a kid, and this passage is something that I remember hearing about. But to look at this and to think for a second, war in heaven. That tells us who's fighting the war, Michael and Satan here, the dragon. And so they're fighting. Now, Michael is a representation of an angel. Not a representation, he's an angel that's assigned to Israel. Michael, throughout Scripture, you'll see him taking care of Israel, guarding Israel. And so if we're looking in the context of this chapter, especially where we see this woman who is a representation of Israel, now you see this battle that's going on, but it's intriguing to me that the war is taking place in heaven. Now, when you think about heaven, do you think about Satan being there? Now, if you're like me, the answer is no. You don't think about Satan being in heaven. Why? Well, when we think of heaven, we think of what we're promised for the eternity of heaven, and the golden streets and the no sickness and the no sorrow and the no sin and the no crying and all those kinds of things. And so it doesn't make sense that Satan would be there. We're going to explain it all throughout these five verses, actually. But we see that the war is taking place in heaven. It's being fought between Michael and his angels and against the dragon and his angels. Now, what do we know about the dragon and his angels? We know they were booted out, right? They were booted out of heaven. So we know that to be true. So what are they doing in heaven? How did they get there? Did they just take the elevator? Did they take a flight? No, I'm going to get into this a little bit, but here this war is going on literally in heaven, which is just something that we don't think about because what we are promised as eternity, and we get into that further in Revelation, but is heaven is a peaceful place. Yet here's a war, it's a battle going on between Michael, who guards and protects Israel, and Satan and his angels, and they come in. Why was this war fought? Really for two reasons. Well, one reason coupled in two settings. First of all, it's to cast Satan down from heaven, officially, finally, for the final time. Look in verse number 7 again. It says the war was in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. And verse 8, he prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Okay, so now again, it's telling you something for a second here, that Satan and these angels who were given the eternal boot out of heaven, so to say, had at least at times a presence in heaven. Why? We're going to talk about it. Don't worry. We're going to get there. But we see this idea of Luke 10:18 says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Chapter 13 is going to cover more about this. Being cast out of heaven. We'll look at that in a couple weeks. But we also see that not only is he cast from heaven, he's cast to earth. And so this war is to, for the final time, kick Satan out of heaven, to cast him out of heaven, but it's also to put him somewhere. So not just out of somewhere, but into somewhere. And he's put into the earth. Now, verse number 9. Let's see here. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. If you go back to chapter 8, verse number 10 and 11, it says, and the third angel sounded and fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star was called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became Wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. We see this falling star. We see this casting out again. Many would tie this together to a similar situation, similar setting here. But what we need to see about this Satan being cast now out of heaven, down from heaven, and cast to the earth. We see, first of all, I love in verse number 8 here, verse number 9 here, that it uses multiple names/descriptions for Satan. Now, if you are anything like me or you have family like me, you know someone who will start saying every name in the book before they finally get to the right name, right? Like so my mom's name is Pam, my aunt's name is Beth, I have a cousin named Emily and a sister named Tara. And so my grandfather would, when talking to my sister Tara, would say, Pam, Beth, Emmy, Tara, right? And go through the whole book till you get to the one that you're finally getting to. Well, this wasn't the wrong name. This is using different names, different descriptions of who Satan is. It's a good reminder that Satan, although he's powerful, he's not all powerful. And he's cast out here, and he's called a couple things. First of all, he's called the old serpent. Well, that's a tie back right to Revelation, is it not? Or Genesis, excuse me, Genesis in the garden, the old serpent. I know mountain preachers and country preachers like that name for Satan, the old serpent, because they're used to snakes being around. Not in the church, hopefully, but nonetheless, that old serpent. Then he's called devil. The devil, the word for devil here is slanderer or accuser. It's the same word that's used, it was brought up earlier in a private conversation, but with Miss Kathy, about Judas. Judas is called a devil at one point. It's the same word, accuser. And obviously we know the Satan to be that. He uses the word Satan, the word there meaning adversary, enemy, against. It says that he is a deceiver here. It says in verse number 9, right in the middle, which deceiveth the whole world. John Phillips, he said, it may not have been John Phillips. It may have been, anyways, someone said, Satan is to be dreaded as a lion, more to be dreaded as a serpent, and most to be dreaded as an angel. Think about that for a second. When you look at Satan, and again, we talked about this a few weeks ago, but when you see Satan as red with horns and a pitchfork and a pointy tail, is that scary? Yes. But really, when you view and understand Satan as something that's scary, well, sure, it should be dreaded, but more so, it should be dreaded that he's a serpent. He's slimy and slithery and comes in and creepy. But even more so, he should be feared or dreaded as an angel. Why? Because that's the most deceitful that he can be. He looks good. He is smart. He is wise. All these kinds of things. Well, that's how he deceives. Satan doesn't deceive the world most often by using worldly things. He deceives them by taking something that looks religious and making it wrong, by twisting God's word, by claiming things are godly that are not godly. And so he deceives the mind and the heart into thinking, I'm doing good, but the reality is it's not. And that's where a lot of people are deceived by Satan. So he should be most feared when you see him as an angel. But in this passage, we're told now he is cast out, verse number 8, their place found anymore, neither was their place found anymore in heaven, and they were cast into or out of and into the earth. And you see here in verse number 10, we see this confinement to the earth. And the way that I view this is, to better understand it is, Satan was able to travel and be places very quickly, and he couldn't be everywhere. He's not like God, where God is omnipresent, but he was able to move quickly. And this casting into the earth, in my mind, the way I picture it is he's grounded. Now he's become less powerful, still powerful, but less powerful. He's now has part of what he did before is now no longer available to him. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. Now look at that phrase. The accuser is cast down. He accused them before God, day and night. Where's God? It's not a trick question. Heaven. He's in heaven. All right, so we talk about not picturing Satan being in heaven. Well, where was Satan when he was having a conversation with God about Job? He was accusing the brethren day and night. So it's not, again, we picture heaven as what we were promised, and it's true, what is eternally heaven, the golden streets, the no tears, the no sin, all that kind of stuff. And that's true. It's not. I'm not saying it's false. I'm not saying the Bible lied to us or tricked us or anything like that. I'm saying that we've never comprehended. A lot of times we don't have the teaching and the understanding that Satan, for a long time, goes to God and accuses people. And the best example of that is Job, because it's written out for us. We see the whole conversation. And so he's like going to God and he's accusing the brethren, accusing them, accusing them, accusing them. Well, now there's this war in heaven and Satan is cast out and he's cast down to the earth. And now this accuser of the brethren who used to come and accuse the brethren before God day and night can no longer do that. He's confined to the earth. And so he's cast down. And I think about Job, and I think, my goodness, we know the story of Job. We've heard the story of Job. We've read the story of Job. But to understand that Job is not the only one that Satan ever came to God about and accused. It says that he was accusing the brethren day and night. Which means today Satan is going before God and accusing the brethren. Think about that for a second, because we look at Job, it's such a long time ago. Ever since then and before then, Satan is accusing people before God. This person doesn't love you. This person wouldn't follow you. The only way that he's following you is because you're blessing him so much. That's the accusation he made towards Job. But that's not the only accusation he has. So to understand, when it takes us back to the what are we warring against? What are we battling against? Principalities and powers. Well, where are they? What are they doing? They're standing before God saying, Vince, the only reason why he's serving you is because of this. You see, Satan doesn't take vacation. He doesn't take days off. He doesn't admit defeat. He's attacking. And here we get to Revelation, and it teaches us that until this moment comes, until this war in heaven comes, Satan is accusing the brethren day in and day out. Do you understand how important it is to be ready for the war? Because the war is happening. The battle against the spiritual principalities and the spiritual powers, it's happening. But we see here that Satan is granted no more access to heaven. And the accuser can no longer accuse. Luke 22, 31. Just one verse, but Luke 22, verse 31. Let's see here. It says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Okay, how does God know this? Well, God knows everything. And I will admit that and agree to that and believe that with all my heart. Satan, I believe, stood before God and accused Simon. He says, Satan hath desired to have you. Okay. We know what Satan accused Job of. We see here in Luke that Simon is being drawn before God, and God, the Lord, is saying, Satan desired to have you. Look in verse 32, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. You see, Satan is attacking. And thankfully, there's coming a day where there's going to be a war in heaven. And when that war happens, Satan will not prevail. Verse 8, and prevailed not. And he's cast out of heaven, no more having access to heaven. He is cast down to the earth. Now he is confined to the earth. Now listen to this proclamation in verse number 12. It says, first of all, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Okay, why? Because Satan no longer has access. Okay, where does Satan have access to? The earth. It goes on, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath. Why? Because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Why is the tribulation period so brutal? Well, first of all, Satan has been confined. He no longer can go to God and accuse the brethren. Secondly, he understands that now that his access has been cut off completely, he knows his time is almost up. So what's he do? Do you remember the Tasmanian devil? I've not seen the Tasmanian devil in quite some time. But when I was a kid, he was a popular character on a cartoon. And the Tasmanian devil would spin so fast and would cause a lot of havoc. Heard the phrase like a bull in a china shop. I've never seen that either, but I can guess that it's not good. Satan says, my time is almost done. I'm going to cause as much pain, as much chaos, as much just mess that I can cause. to me, you look at this verse 12 and you see two things. First of all, you see how joyful it is, this victory. That finally, it's not even that he no longer has access, although that's great, but finally all those accusations are put to bed. There's no more. So rejoice, ye that are in heaven. That'll be me. Rejoice. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Okay, so now I look at it this way. Currently, Satan accuses the brethren day and night, but he also comes to the earth and he causes problems. He's tempting, he's deceiving, he's doing all the things that he does. So when you look in verse 12 and you say, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because now it's going to get even worse. Okay, well, you got to remember that he's still attacking right now. So it goes right back to the, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Do you have on the whole armor of God? Are you praying? Are you close to God? Are you seeking his wisdom? Are you following his instruction? Because Satan is, he's attacking. Yes, it's going to get worse. But don't miss out on the idea that Satan is still powerful today. And he's attacking today. It reminds us that he's our enemy. It's not our neighbor. It's not the politicians. It's not the lost. It's Satan. Satan's our enemy. And he's doing everything he can to tear us down. So there will be rejoicing in heaven when the accuser no longer accuses. But there is woe on the earth. Because now it's going to ramp up. And we'll continue to look at this in the days ahead as we continue to go through this chapter. This is an incredible passage. There is so much joy and victory. There is so much, I think, at least for me, eye-opening to not what's going to happen, but why it's going to happen. To know that Satan is aware he's about to lose. And that's why everything turns up even more. And to understand that we've got to be understanding that who our enemy is, and make sure that we're fighting, we're prepared to fight, and we're prepared to stand against the wiles of the devil, because that old serpent, the devil, Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he's currently roaming around, seeking whom he may devour. So be prepared for it. Be ready for it. Do what you're supposed to do. And let God protect us. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us the knowledge of what is to come. Lord, thank you for showing us your power and your strength and your control. Lord, I pray that we would better comprehend the dangers that we face today, to understand that there is an accuser day and night trying to accuse. Lord, may it keep us vigilant, and may it keep us constantly preparing and being prepared and staying prepared, Lord, for the battle that we're in. Help us to understand you and your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. If you got your prayer list, Brett, you want to turn that off, please?